receive your word this day, because they are truly a blessed people. In Jesus' precious name, let us y'all know, hallelujah, you may be seated. God is good and he's worthy to be praised. Just to show you how good God is. Now, last week, Sheila preached the message. And Linda going to tell me faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when Pastor Scott and Pastor Linda come up here, they preach the word of God. I said, Lord, look here. I haven't preached a Christmas message in a while, because usually it's basically the same thing. I said, if you want a Christmas message this morning, you have to give it to me. Earlier this week, I started losing sight in my eye. By Thursday, I told Linda, I said, you want me to drive? It's dark. She said, Linda said, you want me to drive? I said, no, babe. They told me if I can pass my driver's license with one eye, I can do this. Then by Friday, it started to clear up a little bit. Then Satan wasn't through. Because y'all going to be blessed out of your socks. You already been blessed. I had another about 3 weeks ago, four weeks ago, I had another little episode. I had to go to the emergency room on Saturday. And I kept complaining about having to run back and forth using the restroom. And Saturday morning, I was up maybe a few minutes to four, got in my little office just to verify God's word in my heart, get it sealed, and that's what I'm going to speak in, Lord. You're not changing anything. And I had to make a little trip to the bathroom, and nothing happened. I hate to tell you how much it hurts when you have to go and you can't. Isn't that right, my brothers? There you go. So I just held on. I said, Lord, I ain't receiving this mess. I'm going to wait as long as I can until you fix this. Later on, maybe a little while, hours or so went by, I wasn't receiving that. Lord, fix that problem. But see, we have to realize how good God is. Last night, getting ready to tell Linda, I said, well, I'm going to see if I can read, just going to read scripture, just read some more. And my nose stopped up so tight. I mean, it was just like I couldn't breathe. I said, look at here. This is exciting now. I'm getting the joy out of this because Lord gonna fix that. So I went on in and I started reading and studying it. When I came out, I could breathe. God is good. But he had me here to ask you a question this morning. What is your perspective of Christmas? What is your perspective of Christmas? When I say perspective, I mean, what is your particular attitude? It's your attitude towards something. And I'm talking about Christmas here specifically. What is the one's idea regarding something? What is your idea about, what are you regarding of Christmas? So that's what perspective means. See, somebody had already mentioned, we're in troubled times, saints. You think that the pandemic's, it's from what I heard this morning, says it's gotten worse. People are fleeing Italy because the virus had gotten that bad. They call it a new strand of the virus. But see, the thing is, we are living, but the virgin birth changes everything. Because God has come as a man. He has lived a perfect life, provided a substitutionary atonement, and now he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And because of that, there is help and hope in spite of our circumstances. So with that, you can plan on having a very merry Christmas and a potent, powerful, blessed New Year. Now, I was reading, you know, they are tied together. They're tied together. It's a purpose for that. See, times are, we have some difficult, well, we have different viewpoints, different reactions, different actions regarding Christmas. I want to want you to understand what they are, and you can choose the best one that suits you. Pray that you already chose the best one that suits you, but just in case, I'm going over this anyway. See, we don't want to choose the operating with a faulty frame of reference as you look at the holy, this holiday, Christmas, keeping it from becoming all that it's meant to be in your life. This message, how would I put it, is my desire to give you something, only that can bless you, but to help you with in ministering to your children on Christmas Day, talking to friends about the reason for the holiday, or even being a witness to non-believers about why they're celebrating this special day. People, you think they know, but they really, they don't know. Well, we hope this is just by this perspective that I'm about to go through now will color your perspective as you enter into this Christmas holiday. And see, and God is going to bless, because I already prayed, may God bless us to go through and discover the right perspective about Christmas, the meaning of Christmas, in preparation about why this holiday is special, why is it so critical, why is it so misunderstood, and why it needs to be so much more deeply appreciated by those of us who celebrate it, by those of us who do not understand it, so we can help clarify what this holiday is all about. Talking about the perspective today, I want you to look at some different perspectives. I'm going to give them to you. Some of different people who are involved in Christmas. In our house, you know, Christmas is we really celebrate Christmas in our household. And we go with the decorating on the inside and putting up Christmas trees, and just like most of you do, so we appreciate that. And we do all that, and I enjoy it. And I didn't know how many people paid attention to it until one year I decided I just wasn't planning on doing it. The boys, I think they'd gone away to school. Wasn't nobody there but Linda and I. We had Christmas trees and that, but I used to go with outside decoration. And so one of the neighbors came up and said, how come you haven't put your decoration up yet? They said, you know, my kids, even though they were of age, they looked forward to it. They came out and saw you, and you didn't have your lights up. You used to have your lights up by now. So you got to do something. I said, oh, yeah, well, I haven't put them up yet, but I'm going to get them up. So I put them up. You know, and the thing about Christmas, and I know yesterday, I didn't feel like it, but, you know, I thought about wrapping, rewrapped a lot of gifts. And the wrapping of gift, I said, now, I never thought about it before, but the wrapping of gift, you know, why would we take that much time to make it pretty, dress it up, just to tear it up? I remember buying, Linda, I used to get her, I'm going to tell this. I'm not going to be before y'all long, but I'm going to keep you interested. One year, well, when I buy, you know, wrap gifts for the kids and everybody else, you know, we just buy maybe $2, you get 5 or 6 rolls in it, and, you know, you just wrap, you don't care what the paper, as long as it's Christmas looking, you wrap it up. But for Linda, I always do something special. I buy one roll, I go looking for a special color roll, and what I want all her stuff decorated the same way. And I will go to a little extra stuff to make my own little bows, and you know, I'm an artist, you know, I can mix stuff like that. And this one year, I did all this, and I told her something. We got up at, I think, about maybe 6, and we supposed to go down to Williamsburg to visit my mother, who was living at the time. And I told Linda, I says, every hour, I got something for you. So, I don't know how many gifts. So let's say it was 8 o'clock. We got up, we prayed first and gave her her present. Then 9 o'clock, gave her another one. 10 o'clock, gave her another one. Then we were in the car riding down to see my mama. And the hour was getting kind of close, and she gotten used to that every hour. Hey, where my gift? And that time, my mother, she never had a wedding ring. So I talked to my wife, and we gave her, to give her like a nice diamond ring, because she never had one. And she, I remember working so hard trying to take care of us, and my father had passed, and it was just a hard time. So when we got there, I still kept the hour on the hour, and we got there, and I waited till it was about 6 o'clock. And we presented my mother with her gifts, and she opened it. And Linda looked at me and said, you know, she didn't say anything that time. But at 6 o'clock, when I gave my mother her box, I gave Linda hers. And then there was another diamond ring. So, but you know, I said, now I spent all that money in decorating these boxes, and economically, it wasn't too smart. Because every time I gave it to her, I don't care how pretty it looked, she just rips it up. And that's why I sort of misunderstood, but just this other gift that I sort of thought thinking about, because I went to home shop, or whatever you call it. It used to be, I don't know what it used to be now, I can't remember. But anyway, I go to, they sell Christmas stuff at home. There you go, at home. Not at my home, at that home store. And I looked at these pretty gift wrap boxes. You know, they're all decorated with glitz, and I started to, I said, man, I'd like to have these for outside gift. And I'd like to have a couple of these. So I thought about it, and I looked at the prices of it, and my debit card said, you better not. So I didn't do it. You know, and I didn't do it because they look pretty, and they look pretty well wrapped, and you enter your house and you see these packages, all it, but you know, but it was something about those boxes, even though they were pretty, they were empty. They were empty. See, many people, I don't care how pretty the box was wrapped, if it's hollow, it's empty, it doesn't mean anything. So many people find Christmas to be a depressing time. A time of loneliness, the loss of a loved one, family breakdown, even though I don't care how pretty they would try to make themselves feel good and have a pretty package, if inside is empty, you're not going to receive anything out of it. And when you don't understand the true meaning of Christmas, you can make it as pretty, but it can be as empty on the inside, because they are missing the true meaning of Christmas. When there was the first Christmas, we see a number of people involved in this occasion. Of course, we know Joseph and Mary were involved. See, Joseph was a righteous man. He did not put his wife to open shame because of her pregnancy. And he was absolutely, you know, didn't have anything to do with it. And pro Mary, she asked the question, how could this be? And they didn't know until the angel of the Lord clarified exactly what took place. Now, you have your Bibles, turn them to Matthew chapter 2. And we're going to talk about some other personalities. that people were involved in Christmas. The first personality whose perspective I'm going to give you, and we're going to come back to that later on. But now, in verse 1 it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi. Now, it's Magi, it's the wise men. That's what we're talking about. So when I said Magi, it's because it's in the words, I meant wise men, same thing. From the east, arrived in Jerusalem, saying in verse 2, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have to come to worship him. See, we have his Magi, and they came to worship from a long way away. Their perspective was Jesus was worth the worship. And Jesus was worth the inconvenience to get to the work, to get to worship. These men, when they came to worship Jesus, took an extremely long time to get there to him. Because when they arrived, Jesus, he's a child, not a babe in a manger. So they see his star. But it wasn't merely a star, it was his star. And, you know, you may call it, if I use Old Testament terminology, you may call it the Shekinah glory, a unique divine presence in the sky. That means that they looked at the prophecies concerning Jesus as being the revelation of God and decided that this child was worthy of worship. But by the time they arrived there, he is a child in a house, not a baby in a manger. It says later on in chapter 2 that they reached the house and saw the child, which means that if they initiated their movement to Jesus when they saw the star of his birth, but didn't arrive until he was a child, and the Greek word said for child was toddler, that means this could have taken them about 1 to 2 years, a trip to get from the east to the Middle East. They didn't have planes, trains, or automobiles, but they decided that this child was worth the journey. Now, generally speaking, it's hard to get some folk to drive 20 minutes. Well, before I get into further, generally speaking, if I say something that strikes a nerve that you could use, take that. Nobody have to know. Just said, I received that, and we keep getting up. Now, generally speaking, it's hard to get the people to drive 20 minutes to service. They would go to the party and have time for worship and have time for worship service because they don't have the right perspective for Christmas. Parties are good. I'm not down in your parties. But maybe while I'm talking, if you got the thing reversed, you'll worship first and then enjoy your party. So they would spend a lot of time enjoying the celebration, maybe a minute or two reflecting on the real reason for the holiday. You know, we know the reason that Jesus is the reason of the season, and it stops there. You know, you don't spend no time just, you know that. You don't tell nobody else that, hey, Merry Happy Holidays. Oh, yeah, Jesus is the reason for the season. But that's as far as it gets. It's not worship. See, not these wise men who took this journey, because they decided this child was worth my worship. So the question I have to ask, does Christmas invoke worship in your life? Or is it just another holiday where Jesus' name is thrown around? See, these wise men sought him. And because they sought him, and after they found him, it says God revealed himself to them. Because we said, I'm going to skip down to chapter 2, verse 12. It says, they were warned by God in a dream not to return to Herod. And the Magi left for their own country another way. So guess what they got because they had a divine focus on Christmas? They got divine guidance. Hallelujah. They got warning of a new direction. Because if they hadn't, they would have gone back the same way they came to Herod, and they probably would have been killed. People in life need direction. They need to know how to make decisions, how to move the right way. The Magi, the wise men, they found guidance in their worship of Jesus Christ at Christmas. That become more meaningful to you in a few minutes. So it's a great time to hear from God for divine guidance. Christmas precedes the new year. And we need guidance for the new year, for the next 12 months of our life. And we have resolutions and you know, like we just need to know. We start making plans for the next plan for the next year, the next 12 months. So it's good. It's great to hear from God for divine guidance. But they got the guidance in their worship, not in their opening their Christmas gifts, not in their parties, not in their celebrations. It was in their worship of Jesus Christ, the Son, where they got guidance from the living truth, the living Word of God. And as you approach this Christmas, we can start now because this is the season. You need to hear from God. You need direction in your life. And maybe you ought to spend a little bit less time at the party and a little bit more time in worship so that you approach the new year, you can get a word from God about the direction of your life. You can be warned, says, not to do this, not to do this, not to do that. You can be warned. Who can I go and communicate with? See, Christ, we worship him. This is special. Because Christ was born on Christmas. And God was there with his, all the glory, because the glory was over this little boy, this little baby. That's how the Magi knew where he was. They followed, for 2 years they followed him. So it's something special. There's a connection between Christmas and the new year. They got guidance because they had worship. The wise men could still seek him today during Christmas. Why? Because God is there when Jesus is being glorified, when Jesus is being worshiped. So this first group, the wise men, went through great inconvenience to get to where Jesus was. And they got to hear from heaven because of it. Now, we have another person who shows up whose perspective is important for Christmas. It says, when Herod the king, this is in, go back to verse 3, Matthew chapter 2, verse 3. It says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. When Herod heard the king heard this, what exactly did he hear? He heard what the Magi was looking for. Where is the king of the Jews that we might worship him? And when Herod got Chico, he got shook up. He was mad. It says all of Jerusalem, when Herod got shooken up, it says all of Jerusalem was shook up with him. Why? Because if you make Herod mad, you're in trouble. And Herod was shook up. He was, I guess, destabilized. What was it about this Magi, what they were looking for that messed up Herod? It was that the Magi was looking for another king. And Herod was the king. And Herod's perspective is, we can't have, and we don't have room for two kings. I am the king here. So when you come looking for this other king that you're talking about, like Antoine, my son, said in his message one time, he says, we have issues. And if you have an issue over who I'm ruling, you all have an issue too. Because I'm upset, he says, you better be upset. Because you're in trouble because I'm in trouble. Because we got these folks looking for another king. Jesus Christ has always had problems with people who don't want his ruling over their life. And in their world, they don't want Jesus as the ruling them. We want a Savior that we can rule over, not a Savior that rules over us. Herod was upset, and because there was going to be too many kings in Jerusalem, he would be king of the Jews, talking about Jesus. He would come and be worshipped as king and as the living and true God. So the second person we have here is a person who brought trouble to the rule of man by bringing the rule of God. So the question is, you got to ask, from this teaching of Herod, we have already looked at the wise men. The wise man says he is worthy of worship at Christmas, because this was during the Christmas, just during his birth. Even if it's inconveniencing me, it said the trip was worth it. Does he have the right for you to submit your rulership to his authority? Quite sure he does. Does he have final say-so in your life? Or do you want to keep him a baby because you don't want him to rule? You don't want his decision-making power over yourself. And watch this. And there are other people negatively affected because you don't allow him lordship. I would like to suggest to you that a lot of other folks are in trouble because we are in trouble with Jesus being king. When a man says, Jesus can't be king over my life, he's not the only one. He upsets a lot of people that he not knowing that he upsets. Well, his family may be in trouble. His kids may be in trouble. In order for his home, that could be in trouble. And when a society says we don't need Jesus, his principal ruling here, the nation could be in trouble. And we know this nation is in trouble because that's what's happening now. We have turned our backs, talking about the nation, against God. We kick God out of everything that we can kick him out. You can't even go anywhere and say the name of Jesus in the government and where he should be because you got problems. We kick God out of school. They kick him out until we have a big problem that they can't fix. Remember 9/11? College campuses, groups of students praying on the lawns, people in schools praying. They were praying everywhere. But did it last? Let me say you something. This was in the Old Testament. In fact, you have churches that are in trouble because pastors won't even let Jesus rule in the house of God. Hallelujah. It's true. Now, see, nothing new. It was in the Old Testament. See, they carried on their worship without the rulership of God, rulership of the living God. And so there was disorder. The Bible says when there was no true God, that there was disharmony in the culture. Amen. So the unveiling of the lives and families, churches, and even whole societies could be simply because they don't want this king ruling over their lives. They don't want Jesus to be part of their life. And that trouble brings us trouble. That's why I'm so glad that the word says we're living in this world, but we're not of this world. Remember when all of Egypt was in trouble? God's people was protected. It was darkness that flows over Egypt, but God's people was under the light. So we see this, these wise men, worthy to worship. We see Herod. We don't have room for another king. I want to be ruler of my own life, captain of my own ship, master of my own fate, so we're going to carry on the celebration. And notice what Herod's statement was. This is another thing that we have to watch out for, even when we're listening to people talk. Verse 4 says, he gathered together all the chief priests and the scribes. He inquired of them where Messiah would be born. See, he wanted to know where the Messiah would be born, and he wanted the Magi to tell him. He says, when you have found him, in verse 8, report it to me so I too may come and worship him. Now, he had the right words. He was talking, and we said talking a lot of trash. We used to say talking a lot of smack. He was talking ignorant. He was just making noise. He used the words of Christmas without the worship of Christmas. He had the rapping, but there was the emptiness, a hollowness on the inside, because he didn't mean it. He was utilizing it without meaning it. That's what happens today. We have the language of Christmas, the songs of Christmas, the celebrations of Christmas, the programs of Christmas, the activities of Christmas, and it's well wrapped without meaning, about the meaning of Christmas, because people have the wrong perspective about Christmas, because they don't want Jesus to rule. They want to keep him in a manger. They want to keep him a cute little cuddly pretty baby. They don't want to deal with any why Christmas exists. But there is another group. It says he calls for the scribes and the Pharisees. He didn't call for the Sadducees, Sadducees at this point, because they weren't involved, because they were already Sadducee. Yeah. He calls for the Pharisees or the chief priests. He says, I want you to get this information. Where is Jesus to be born? Where is this king to be born? So he calls the religious leadership. And the religious leadership tells him what had been written. Sounding good, doesn't it? Verse 6, and when you brethren, when you Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means the least of the leaders of Judah, from you will come forth a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now that's interesting. He calls the religious leadership, and the religious leaders quoted scripture. That means they knew their Bible. So the one who didn't want Jesus to be king calls for the religious leaders and say, tell me where he is to be born. And they gave him impeccable information. But we have something missing here. Now, while they knew the Bible, they never made the trip. See, we don't realize where Bethlehem was, how far they were away. While they knew the word, they never went just a few miles down the street, because Bethlehem was right down the street. They had studied the scriptures but didn't do what the wise men did, go to worship the Lord. They didn't do it. Now, which means you can have religion attached to Christmas without relationship attached to Christmas. You can know the Bible and not know the Lord. You can sing the songs and not know the Savior. You can celebrate the occasion without experiencing the relationship. Jesus spoke of such a mindset in St. John chapter 5. He tells them that they have the word and they study the scriptures, but they did not know the Lord. He tells them in scriptures in verse 39. He says, John chapter 5, verse 39, he says, you examine the scriptures because you think of them, you have eternal life. It is in those very scriptures that testify me. Verse 40, and yet you are unwilling to come to me. You know the scriptures, but you didn't come to me. The religious leaders knew the scriptures, but they didn't go to Jerusalem. If the scriptures can't lead you to Jesus, then you've got a well-wrapped holiday. Because you read the Bible, you are quoting the verses, but you are not drawn to the Savior. See, this Christmas season will be full of religious activities. Jesus will get a little play. He will maybe get a little quote about him, talk about him. You'll probably hear a little mention about him, recognition about him, throughout his name every now and then. But we will be living in the midst of a well-wrapped culture and won't come to him. If what you read about him doesn't draw you to him, you won't experience him. So as you interact with, I guess, yourself and others during this holiday, you don't want to be like Herod, reject his rule. You don't want to be like the religious leaders, read the word, know the word, able to quote the word. You want to be like the wise men. They didn't have all the biblical information because they were searching. Where is he? So they didn't have all the acts of Jesus and all the theology of Jesus. They didn't have all that, but they were looking for him. The Bible says, if you look for me, you will find me when you search for me and with all your heart. So don't let religion keep you from the Savior, because you read the Bible, know the verses, sing the songs, make you think that you understand the holiday. The meaning of Christmas is a personal encounter with Jesus. Jesus is all about the season. We have that season because of Jesus. We have Christmas because of him. You leave that out and you miss Christmas. Christmas is about this one little thing that isn't so little, because it affected the whole world. You think about it. Something for you to think about. Jesus, and you probably heard this before, Jesus never wrote a song. Yet there are more songs written about him than any person in history. He never wrote a book, but his book, the Bible, outsold every other book in history. He never traveled any more than 300 miles from home, but yet you can go anywhere in this world and his name is reference. I'll tell you a little story that I heard. It was a man who died. See, he had a son, and his son his son had passed before him. So this man, he was rich, awfully rich, filthy rich. And this wealthy man passed away. And so everyone knew how wealthy this man was. And so they had an auction. They're going to auction off this wealthy man's belongings. And so, because they knew this man was rich, everybody knew him, they knew he was a rich man, and they knew that all of the things that he was going to sell, the auction off, was going to be very valuable and very expensive. So the day of the auction came, and they all gathered. When they all gathered, the auctioneer came and he hit the gavel. He says, the auction is now open. The first thing that we're going to auction off is a picture a painting of the man's son. So they were all going to the auction, this picture of this man's son. And so the portrait came out, and he said, "Who will start the bidding on this picture, this man's son, this man's boy?" And nobody responded. See, they were interested in all the other valuable things that they're supposed to auction off. Nobody posted a bid for this regular painting of a boy. There wasn't any special thing special about this painting. It was just a painting of this man's boy, son. It wasn't really expensive stuff. He said, "The floor is open for bid." He said again, "The floor is open for bid." Nobody made a bid for it. He said, "Does anyone want this picture of the man's son?" The man had a servant who had worked for him over the past, and while he was alive, and the servant, seeing that no one was bidding for this picture, for the man's son, he raised his hands. "Well, you know, if nobody else wants it," he said, "I'll take it." The servant says, "I'll take the picture of the son." The auctioneer says, "Well, since nobody is bidding on the son, we will let the servant come take the picture of the son." And he hands the picture of the son to the servant. When the servant came to pick up the picture, the son, the auctioneer hit the gavel again. He says, "The auction is now over." Everybody started looking around. They couldn't understand. "What do you mean the auction is over? You have all this other stuff. You haven't even touched. You just brought the man's son. Picture, and that was a picture. It wasn't valuable or anything." He said, "I know," the auctioneer says, "but in the will of the Father, he willed that whoever took the picture of his son got everything else." So the servant wound up with everything simply because he took the son. Because with the son came everything else. What is that telling you? There's a lot of stuff out there at Christmas being offered to you. A lot of it is expensive, valuable. It has glitz and glitter of the holiday. But at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord through the glory of the Father. So whatever else you're looking for in life, in this world, and during this holiday season, take the Son. Because whoever gets the Son gets everything and anything else God has prescribed for them if they will bow and worship. This Christmas, bow down and let's discover this new year that's coming up. Whatever and everything else that it's going to bring, if you just bow down to Him, worship Him, praise Him, honor Him, God will see that whatever it has to come for you this coming year, He says, you will get it. Everything and anything you will have is coming up. And we talk about 2021, you don't know how important that year is. I hadn't planned on, I think Sheila asked me maybe a couple of weeks ago, and I hadn't planned on a New Year's service. I hadn't had anything planned, so I told her, I said, "I don't think so, but I'll get back with you." But so much happened during that week. And I didn't, if I heard something mentioned, I probably would have. But I told her, I think last Wednesday, that we're going to have service. But it's going to be an hour service. I thought about it, and I said, we cannot go. This is probably the worst year that we have ever had. And God says, if I can get them to worship me at Christmas, if I can get them to be late for the party and let them stand and wait 1 hour for me, anything and everything that I have available for them in the next year, they will have. Church, I didn't know how important Christmas, I knew it was important, but I didn't know how important it was. And all you heard today is about worship and praise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hate to tell you this, but we repeat it because our days are short. I don't believe that too much more can go on before Christ parts those clouds. This is very important time. This is a time where we have to, the sister said this moment, it's time to stop fooling around. It's time to get serious. We're sitting around like these unsaved people. I'm just generally speaking. Not knowing, not even worried about, not thinking about, all they want is a nice pretty package with a gift in it for them. But what they don't know is if they're not worshiping the Savior, they got a pretty package, and what's inside is not going to amount to a hill of beans. It might as well be empty, because that's not the true meaning of the gift of why we worship Christmas. Then Linda reminded me of something. But first, let me do this. Anyone who has not given their life to Christ,